Roxy Soxy.
A good afternoon, Tam Tam.
I don't even know if I want to talk to you right now because I just want to, like, I'm so excited to speak to our next guest that I'm like, should we just, why are we so excited?
I know, because this is
very on brand.
It's very on brand for us. We all like a good dick.
I guess we should just start with that. It's weird because last night I was at my premiere and I explained that we have someone called the Dick Doc on. Dick Doc, D-I-C-D-O-C, but it's really D-I-C-K-D-O-C. And they had so many questions.
Yes, there's so many questions. I mean, I think once you sort of open up that can of worms and have that name out people want to know more. They want information. Like, they know that this is like the expert. So
I want to learn more about all the things that happen to the men's downstairs area. So Roxy Soxy, who do we have on today?
We are so excited to have this expert on. He knows a thing or two about dicks, and not just because he has one. This is his area of expertise. So we have so many questions, and without further ado, we want to welcome Dr. Ed Zimmerman, the Dick Dog.
Thank you, ladies. It's an honor to be here.
Welcome to the show.
We're so
excited. My first question that is, like, we're going to have a whole hour of power right now. Mm-hmm. But my first question, which is like has been burning in my question bank the minute I heard about you, is like, why this profession? Like, how did you get into it?
Well, partially it chose me and partially the woman who put me on top, Stacy. It's her brilliant idea and her brilliant social media handling of things that we do in the office. We're actually 5,300 square foot of fun in Las Vegas. We have a nationally accredited operating room, so we do everything from forehead to feet. Mm-hmm. But guess what gets all the PR in the United States? Actually, all over the world. We have followers, almost 2.4 million followers from all over the world.
Wow.
And it's kind of a fun, unique, interesting thing. And so, you know, just like with your venue, you go where the audience pushes you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this has been a supreme push. We did open Pandora's box, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And we found out a lot of interesting things about guys that didn't really know before.
Mm. Well, I think too, with like men's health, I know, like, especially for my husband, like, he doesn't talk with his friends about, you know, the health issues and mm-hmm. things that, like, we women do. Like, if our period is off, for example, we'll say something like, oh, gosh, you know, my period's late or I have cramps.
And we try to fix it.
Men will just go silent and mm-hmm. just silently deal with whatever their, you know, issues are, which makes it so amazing that you are this, the Dick Doc, so they can come to you.
You just want
to
say that
name. I know. I love saying the name. I love it so much. The Dick Doc.
Has a ring to it.
Yeah, it has a ring to it. So for people like us who do not have dicks, what is the most fascinating thing about the male penis? Like something we wouldn't know as women. Like, what is the thing?
Well, first of all, you're women, so you know everything.
We love that. Right.
I think that almost half of our followers are women. And I think that we, by providing a safe space to discuss an otherwise taboo-ish area, frankly, with some joviality and some medical fact, that we are getting the following that we're getting. And what we're finding out partially is that men, don't take this personally, are actually enormously complex. And for you to get through to your husband, your spouse, your whatever, you have to get one head in the right aptitude and attitude to let the other head work. And that's something we haven't always recognized about guys. We just assume that you lead them out to the pasture and let them go and they do their thing. But that's not really true.
See, I didn't realize that until recently because, you know, I have two kids and life is really stressful now. And, you know, when I was young, I've been with my husband for 16 years. And I think, you know, it was a lot easier to just get into the bed and have sex. But now it's based on, like, how stressed we are. And I agree with you. I always thought that a guy would be ready to have sex if he saw something that turned him on, mm-hmm. and that mental had nothing to do with it. I always thought that women needed something called thermescence, which is like this arousal to happen way before the actual act itself, whereas men did not. I mean, did you think that?
I really didn't think that, like you're saying, I really didn't think men had to think about it too much, right? Like sometimes, like in my mind, I was like, well, maybe the wind blows one way and that gets them turned on. Way. Or like, you know, or they brush up
against them. It's a strong wind, Roxy.
Very strong. Yes, but I never knew that it was so, you're right, like mental for men, because I kind of thought, whereas with women, I mean, it's more unusual for a woman to be able to be turned on that quickly. But I feel like men, like, for example, they wake up with a morning wood,
yeah,
right?
What is that about?
The erection in the morning. Like, what is it? It feels like, were they even dreaming about sex? Or like, why is it already ready to go?
Yeah.
Well, but the actual guy is thinking indirectly about sex while he's awake multiple times an hour, maybe even multiple times a minute.
What?
Really?
I and their age and their testosterone level and lots of things. But actually getting an erection, maintaining an erection, having an orgasm is a very complex dance between the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, as well as their physical state. And, you know, there's a lot about that, and even the position they're in, about whether they're able to maintain an erection. And then when you couple in the fragile psyche of a guy, that when he reaches down first thing in the morning on his way to waking up or the restroom, he's either going to go, eh, or this is going to be a great day. So we help guys reach down and go, this is going to be a great day.
Interesting. Mm. Well, you said that they think about it, because I don't think about sex. I probably think about sex like having sex probably once every couple days.
Okay. Like the act of having sex?
Yeah, like the act of it. So when you say they think of it every, you know, a few times an hour, is it that they're actually thinking about having sex, or they're thinking, oh, that looks like a sexual object, or, oh, that woman looks sexy, or, oh, my penis is tingling? Like, when you say that they think about it, what does that actually mean?
All of the above. And remember that guys have two brains and only blood supply for one at a time. So if Godzilla wakes up a little bit in the middle of a business meeting and he becomes aware of it while he's not actively thinking about closing that deal, there you have it. Guys are kind of like sails in the wind, and they're at the mercy of the breezes that are out there. And their hormones and everything else.
And so does that change with age then, as men get older? Like, are they thinking about it less, or are they thinking about it the same, but maybe don't have the reaction that they had when they were younger, you know?
Indeed. And they're worried about it, because as they get older, they can't automatically have a good, strong erection when they want to, because of the stresses, the kids, the finances, everything else. The woman, I think, helps nurture the relationship in a way that the man feels secure. That enables him to have a better erection and to be able to complete the sex act. So there's a lot going on in his little brain, especially as he gets older and the vascular supply to the penis is decreasing. His testosterone level is decreasing. His sympathetic and parasympathetic output is decreasing. A lot going on. Some of that depends on the genetic gifts his parents gave him. But some of that's environmental.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, all works?
Yeah, and it's just that, because as women, we always, and that must be a lot of pressure, because I do think women think that men don't really experience that type of pressure, that, like, because women just have to lay there.
Right.
Right? And men actually have to do something for, you know, for the act to happen. And I think women probably put a lot more pressure on men than we actually think we do, because we've expected our whole lives that guys are ready and waiting. And when they're not, then they're thinking about not. And then all of a sudden you have something called what? Just erectile dysfunction.
And the woman is going, is it my fault? Is he interested? You know, what's going on here? It may be totally out of the guy's hands. He may have been put on a beta blocker for his hypertension. Any number of things going on there. And to add injury to insult, you know, as we get older, Mother Nature, witch that she is, takes volume out of certain areas. We notice it particularly in faces because we lose our facial characteristics. Our skin gets thinner. Our subcutaneous fat melts away. Our muscles get thinner. Well, that head gets it, but so does the other head. And the guy has no control over that. So he's losing girth.
Oh, wow.
You have this to look forward to. Or not.
Wait, so when guys get older, their penis shrinks.
They lose some volume and they notice it. They absolutely notice it because they lose some turgor. They lose the subcutaneous fat.
Okay.
The skin gets thinner. There's a lot going on down there.
Look at how faces. Like, is there like a point where it stops getting smaller?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is like, do we have like a range or does it just keep getting smaller?
I don't know that I can honestly answer that from a scientific point of view.
Oh my God. So
but, you know, very think about your family. Think about how grandma or great grandpa, they're shrunken and wizened and bent over and kind of involuting on themselves until they finally go on their final journey.
Oh boy. So we're going to have to trade them in at some point, Tamman.
Yeah. It's
always no, we don't want to do that. We want to help them.
They're so hard to train though.
We want to help them. I know we've come this far. So then what can people do? Like, there's so many things to talk about, and I think that this is such a taboo subject that a lot of women don't feel comfortable talking about. Now, podcasts is, you know, the best friends that talk about things that you think but don't say. So for all the women out there that want a better sex life, but they don't want to freak the guy out because you have to be very careful about how you talk about these types of subjects, what are things that they can do to help with sex if there's like erectile dysfunction or if it's not as hard as they age or the person doesn't want it as much? What are things that the wife can do to like help the guy be proactive? Like, how can we help?
There are so many things. It's a fabulous question. And we do a lot of couples counseling for that reason. And, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as saying, look at this guy on TikTok. And once they know that there are answers available and they start running through the dozens and dozens of dozens of recordings that we've done, maybe they get enough courage to call and get an appointment, an evaluation. So we do video evaluations, we do Zoom evaluations, and there are many things that could be done, especially as far as erectile dysfunction, from a distance, but some require visiting the office.
And what are they? Tell us what they are. Not that we need them, but just in case.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think about erectile dysfunction, you have to look at the cause of the erectile dysfunction. How old is the gentleman? What is his total or free testosterone level? What general health is he in? What medications is he on that might decrease his ability to engorge? What positions are we using? Because literally, if the woman is on top, that's a great position for guys to experience something called venous leak syndrome. So the valves at the base of the penis that allow it to fill with blood and then clamp down to keep the blood in to keep it erect don't work as well in some guys when they're on their back. It works better in some guys when they're on top or sort of kneeling behind. So that's something easy to do. Having appropriate lubrication so that there's room for more stimulation is another thing that can be done. Okay. Maybe a toy. You know, they used to call them cock rings, but we're a more advanced civilization now. So we have these silicone baby donuts, base rings, or, you know, whatever you want to call them. But what it does is it slides down over the erect penis and it holds the blood in so that you can have a better erection. Maybe as part of foreplay or just general, you know, if your guys go into the gym, well, all of you has to go to the gym. When's the last time you took your penis to the gym? So a vacuum erectile device, and there are, you know, not just the ones you get in the sex shops, but one that actually has a device that measures the amount of vacuum that's being pulled and has a quick release if you pull too much vacuum, can be used for, without pain, 10 minutes a day just for going to the gym. And right before relations with a base ring applied for getting it on. So there's lots of things like that. Then we go into all the so many options as far as How do we increase girth so that both partners experience more contact area? How do we get the erectile, the hydraulics to work better? So those are things like PRP injections into the corpora cavernosa and corpora spongiosum. We can use acoustic wave therapy. So that's another thing, the same energies and science that break up a kidney stone. When the patient has a kidney stone, they sit them in a big vat of water and the pressure waves from the sound actually break up a kidney stone. Mm-hmm. You can break up the interstitial blockages in a penis with a similar technology done at a much lower energy. Mm-hmm. So generally a series of six of those done over about 3 weeks and then some maintenance. This acoustic wave therapy stimulates the nerves to function better, so they get more sensation. More sensations, better erections. It opens up the corpora so that they can function better. Mm-hmm. And allows the penis to engorge more. And then if their ejaculation has turned into a dribble, because that's a problem with some guys, that's another muscle they're not exercising at the gym. That's the pelvic floor muscle. So you guys do Kegels. Mm-hmm. But we have a device that's FDA approved that does 12,000 super maximal Kegels for men or women to treat stress urinary incontinence. Mm-hmm. So when you take that muscle to the gym in a gal, it gives her enormous gripping strength. Mm. Nice for both. And with a guy, it gives him back his ability to ejaculate. Mm. And so there's lots of things that are going on there that can improve sex. And if you have a guy who has put on some extra weight or has developed into a turtle, then we have surgical and non-surgical treatments for that.
Wow.
So lots that can be done. I'm looking at the eyes going,
I know. It's yeah. We're like, yes, now go,
And these are things that we talk about, frankly, both to men and to women, because it's okay. You know, the same way that you go out and get a new makeup, a new hairstyle, a new pair of eyeglasses, new jewelry, a new pair of girls. Well, guys are finally slowly being dragged into the 21st century where they will open up to making similar investments.
Isn't that interesting? I know. I feel like this. You are very needed, because men need to be able to feel comfortable like that to take that step. But let's say you're just walking into a sex shop, right, where they sell toys and things like that.
Hypothetically
speaking,
a friend of a friend.
A friend. I know those are probably a lot better. So you're walking in and you can only buy one thing for better sex. What would you recommend buying?
I think it depends on the couple. If it's a young couple where they're both functioning generally well, guys are very visual. It may be something as teasing as eye candy, a nice lingerie for the lady. If they're a little bit older, it might be something like a good lubricant. Or it might be a little stimulation, some form of vibration, either mutual or for one or the other. If the guy is a little bit older, it might be a bass ring or a vacuum pump or both. Why only one thing?
I know.
I just didn't even think people did that.
Sex is a cornucopia.
Yeah. I just didn't think people, I know that people do that. Of course, I'm not I don't live under a rock, but you think people do that because they're being, you know, they just want to be naughty or whatever, and that's fine. You're in Vegas, but you never think that people are using like a penis pump because it helps their erection with just their wife.
Right.
You know, because for me, that would seem like really it would be strange, because firstly, we've never needed that. But also because I just thought it was just for the fun party lifestyle, right?
Yeah. Like you kind of like, that's like kind of a wild kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's like a wild thing. But I realize as you get old, like, again, guys don't talk about these things.
Right.
You know?
But to get maximal engorgement and maximal length, which gives more sensation for a guy after many years of use, that's a pretty exciting thing.
And I'm going to go get one.
You should have your own.
KnockRx.com.
Totally.
So I have a question. Can you break a penis? And if so, if you break a penis, how do you fix it?
Great question. So penises are a sliding wrapper of skin around a hydraulics tube that contains three sets of engorgeable filled with blood tubes. And a penis can be broken for a variety of reasons, but probably reverse cowgirl is the one that we see the most in the emergency room.
In the emergency room.
Because it is a surgical emergency, just like when you break a bone, when you break a boner, the same thing can happen, because if that's not repaired promptly, you can cause scar tissue, which causes a change in the angle of the dangle, so to speak, because you get scar on one side where one of the vascular chambers has been broken and then healed back together shorter. So the shorter side is the direction of the angle that the penis moves to, up, down, sideways, whatever. And it can also, it can, you know, if you have a hematoma there that's not evacuated, you can cause all sorts of problems because of the scar tissue that you get there and the decrease in sensation.
Wow. So what is the repair surgery? I mean, you would never walk out with like a cast on your dick, right?
Oh my gosh.
Well, the repair may be surgery, or it may be splinted. It depends on how broken it really is. Is it like a green stick fracture, or is it fully broken?
Okay.
And, you know, initially you've got to reduce the hematoma so that you can even get this thing to start to think about being straight again. And then you're probably going to your go to your local urologist to make sure that it stays straight. And if it doesn't stay straight, go in surgically to try to repair that hydraulic tube so it can function again. Ideally, you don't have to break the other side and shorten the other side to keep it from bending the first direction, because that was one of the old options. Now we just try to reduce the plaque, or we put a wrapper around it, so to speak, to be able to. It's always looks large at that point, but the penuma implant is one of the ways that that can be treated. So a guy is, while he's not erect, can have penetrative sex anytime you want. You can have him at your beck and call. And, you know, he's always ready to go. It's just when he's ready to go, it points up. The rest of the time, it points down.
And how many of these do you see a weekend? Yeah. Like, is this a normal, because you're in Vegas, right? So is it, you must have seen some really wild injuries. Can you please explain some of the wildest ones you've seen in Vegas, please?
Stacey, can I talk about that?
Yes, you have to. And we'll just name it Joe.
Joe.
So, I mean, there are certainly...
No, we want to know that one.
Yeah,
challenges.
Yeah.
Where things can happen, and sometimes they miss, or sometimes in the heat of passion, a thrust pulls out but doesn't get back into where it needs to go, and it runs smack against a wall, and there's a nauseating crack, and immediate peel the guy off the ceiling. And a tilt to the kilt, and a trip to the emergency room if they're smart.
Yeah.
Particularly when your erections are engorged further with Cialis, Levitra, Viagra, Trimix, one of those things, so that you're really maximally engorged. If there's a little alcohol on board to decrease their usual sensibilities. And sometimes it's just an innocent thing. It's a couple just having a good time. And, you know, particularly if they pick a position where she's on top, she's in control, and she moves a different direction. And the penis doesn't slide in because there's the lubrication has gone down a little bit. And instead of sliding in, it breaks.
God.
So be careful with your penis, ladies.
I don't have one yet. Yeah. I definitely have penis envy. That is for sure.
That is true. I think a lot of women have penis envy, actually, because it's something we don't have. You know, it's always it's always so glamorized. Like, you know, it's funny. I was actually at a birthday party on Saturday night, and I was talking to this guy, and my husband was right there too.
and he showed you his penis.
Yeah. So we were talking, and he actually brought it up, which I thought was really interesting that he said it. He goes, you know, they always say, pardon my French, don't be a pussy. But he's like, actually, vaginas are some of the strongest organs there are. They create life. They mm-hmm. birth life. You know, you have a period every month. There's like a lot going on. It's a very strong, you know, organ. But he's like, now go to the testicles. And that is some mm-hmm. of the weakest. All you do is flick a testicle and a guy, like you're saying, is on top of the ceiling. You know, it's like the weakest link on a man. Yeah. So he said that. And I was like, that is so interesting that that is true. You know,
it's so true.
The vagina is actually really strong. But these testicles, why are these testicles so sensitive?
Oh, my gosh. It's like they vomit. The minute you touch it too hard, like they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Barely touch.
So think about the male and female equivalents. Mm-hmm. So the tip of the penis is very much like the clitoris. The mm-hmm. glands of the penis is just a larger, more economical, visible clitoris. Mm-hmm. All the equivalent parts are there. But in order to have spermatogenesis, you have to lower the temperature of the testicle mm-hmm. to the point where you can actually make sperm that are going to be viable. Mm-hmm. So God, in her usual sense of humor, decided, let's hang them outside. Who would notice? Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's a matter of virility or things like that. And we certainly have guys, side note, coming in to get toxin like Botox and Xeomin and Dysport in order to let the scrotum relax and let the testicles hang down further, because it's sort of a sign of virility to have larger low-hanging testicles without a whole lot of pull up.
I don't think we care.
Yeah, exactly. Women don't care.
We're like, they're there? Oh, yeah. Those little
but guys think you do.
Why? So do they really think we care?
For some guys, when they get nervous, they pull up so tight it's painful. So just like your little flick, it can cause them discomfort. So they're coming in actually with a medical desire to hang lower so that they can be more comfortable. And it's not a matter of the underwear they choose. It's a matter of what their sympathetic nervous system causes the cremasteric muscles to do. So that's kind of interesting. We also use toxins to engorge the penis better. That's called Botox. And that's a trademarked area. Okay. So we're actually using toxins to help the penis engorge for 3 to 6 months at a time. So that's kind of another fun thing. A lot of these procedures are things that we've taken from other parts of the body and we're using off label, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And, you know, the goal is to use them for the good of our patients. But the interesting thing is, you know, if you look at the labia minora and the labia majora, and you think about the skin on the penis and the skin on the scrotum and the sensitivity of both those areas, they're kind of analogous. Mm. And the sensitivity behind the scrotum or behind the vagina, et cetera, it's all very similar. So if you can handle your own plumbing, you can handle any guy.
So interesting, because it's I guess like you're saying, it's a thing now where men care about how they look down there. I mean, because you know what, penises can have like lumps, bumps, like different
don't
shapes,
you care
differences.
Like, let's be real, like we've been without partners for 16 to 18 years, mm-hmm. so it's been the same thing. But don't, if you were single, don't you care what it looks like?
I mean, I do. I care more about the size than how it looks. Like, I want a nice girth. Like, I like a nice girth. Like, that to me is better. I like that. But, I mean, obviously, I don't want a penis that has like a million bumps on it either.
Poor penis with a million bumps. What if it's just like an acne?
But some guys have pearly penile papules along the edge of the corona, the base of the glands that they were born with. And they're just a skin appendage. We take them off with CO2 laser, but that's a natural thing. And, you know, you can say to the guy, well, you know, when the foreskin is either gone or pulls back and those are there, maybe it provides some extra stimulation. They go, no, I'm tired of explaining it. Girls think it's an STD. Take it off.
Wow.
So then that goes to my next question, circumcised or not circumcised? Because what do you think most women prefer? Mm-hmm. And what do you think most men prefer? And what do you, and there's like a third question is, what is better for sex? Mm. Like most women, what do they prefer? Mm-hmm. You would think.
What we've done on our TikTok occasionally is run a, you tell us.
Mm-hmm. And what did you find?
So, you know, I think that girth is the mm-hmm. primary concern, because in the first couple of inches of the vaginal canal, there's the most sensory nerves. And if you can rub up against them, you can help stimulate your partner. So girth is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a loud group that says we shouldn't be circumcising babies for religious reasons or cultural reasons or anything like that. They should grow up and make a choice of their own. That's kind of the, well, yeah, but when you get your tonsils out as a kid, if you get your tonsils out, it's a lot less painful than doing it as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So doing a circumcision on an adult is a bigger deal, a little bit, you know, it's not, but it's certainly a concern. So, you know, the foreskin protects the tip of the penis and those nerves under there, because they're protected for a period of time when you get an erection, are ultimately sensitive. On the other hand, guys who've had a foreskin until they become an adult and get the foreskin removed have said, you know, it feels different, but the same. We probably have more circumcised males in the US than there are in other parts of the world. So whether it's for religious reasons or hygienic reasons, and an argument slim can be made for hygienic reasons and decreasing the risk of cervical cancer, because there may be a slightly increased risk of cervical cancer with guys who don't have great hygiene and the foreskin is in place. There can be little filaments of skin that attach the foreskin to the underlying tissue that are painful. So when the foreskin tries to slide back, it gets in the way. And foreskins sometimes don't keep up with the growth of the penis. So they don't slide back during erection. And then they either have to be stretched or surgically removed. So phimosis and paraphimosis. As far as for ladies, it seems like it's both directions. You know, we have people are very vehement about, you know, I love a turtleneck. And other ones who are, nope, don't hand me none of that collared stuff. I like them high and tight and cleaned off. So I don't have a great answer for you. All I can tell you is, and we have statistically more circumcised guys in the United States than we do in the rest of the world. Whether that's because they want to look like dad when they go to the gym, or there's a religious reason, or that's what they were pushing in the hospital that week, I don't have a great explanation.
I honestly haven't seen many uncircumcised. I've been with my husband for a very long time, but the few that I, it was definitely like, you know, I haven't seen many uncircumcised. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I have, but to me, like as the woman, like I did, cause it was hard. So to me, it's, you know, it looks the same cause it's a hard penis. So the skin was already, you know, back and everything. So as far as, yeah, for me, all the ones that I had seen have been, you know, pulled back all the way. So it didn't look any different to me. So I was fine either way. But I think maybe for the man, is it a little more sensitive for sex? Is that maybe why they sometimes don't get circumcised?
Yeah, the foreskin protects the tip of the penis and the nerves on the tip of the penis from much stimulation until you have sex. So, but on the other hand, there's more nerves in that area, whether it's circumcised or not, than there are in the rest of the penis. So if you remove the tissue, there's still more nerves there. And, you know, we've certainly had a number of guys who said, I've been circumcised as an adult. I don't regret it. It's just as sensitive for me now. It's just different. So it all depends on how you like your gift wrapped.
I love these little sayings that you're saying.
So good.
So what can we do as lovely wives and girlfriends? How do we make sex even more pleasurable for our partners? Are there things that guys might think, oh my gosh, that's taboo, but they might actually enjoy it? Are there like techniques that women can try to make the sexual experience even better for their guy?
That may require a life coach for both of you to get to that level of openness, because really it's a form of communication.
Right.
You know, can you say to your guy, what do you like? And can he say to you, this is what I like. So, and then will you go the next step of gratifying each other and fulfilling each other's wishes? And then can you train them to do it without you even saying anything?
That's
trainable.
Trainable. They usually are kind of trainable, right? Yeah. Don't you think?
But I think guys don't like this. I think they don't like certain things, right? There's taboo things that they don't like, right? But I think that they would like, you know, if little finger here and there. But I feel like they don't like that. They think they don't like that. But
and
I
then
feel,
they try it and they like it.
Do they
maybe?
Try it? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I think.
Come on,
like,
Dick Doc. What do you like?
Yeah, exactly.
We see some couples that are very open to everything. And we see others that are glad they came in because we put those things out there and say, you know, maybe you guys would enjoy experimenting a little bit and knowing that you're in a safe place that you can experiment, go home, try things out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all kinds of apps, you know, dating apps and things like that for couples, mm-hmm. you know, where somebody pulls a card and it says, do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't think it up. It was just something in a card game that they're playing.
Mm. Why are some men, and you, this goes along with these cute little kind of taglines. Why are some men growers and some men showers?
I don't know what that means. Because
are
I
you
like
a grower or a shower?
I feel like it's the same thing.
No, because some men are already, it already is like a big dick energy, like it's big. So,
right.
Like they're showers. Or they're growers, meaning
they
like
can
you
get
look
that
at
big.
Them. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. Why is there like that size sort of difference in that way?
First, ask God. And then there's a parental and genetic interaction, but you're absolutely right. The average length, mm-hmm. and we don't have the statistic down very well because they just haven't measured enough guys mm-hmm. through time in enough parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But the average guy is somewhere between 3 3/4 and 3 3/4 inches around and mm-hmm. about 4 to 4.5 inches at rest long.
Is that 4 inches?
Let's see. Well, that's
can't go there.
At rest.
Is that 4 inches? Wait, that's 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch. It's about that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the old joke about, you know, well, of course this is 6 inches.
Okay, and then erection, what is the average?
So with erection, the girth around at the widest point probably goes up about an inch. Mm. So, you know, 4 4.5 4 3/4 inches. Mm-hmm. And the length, if it's really filled out, goes up between 5 and 6 inches. And that's a gross generalization, having mm-hmm. read many, many studies. Mm. And there'll be people like, no, it's 6 inches, all, you know, it. So it's a very average thing. Mm. And, you know, I think that when guys come in and we, you know, take measurements and digital photos and things like this, mm. and, you know, when we're doing implants for penises, they only come in large and extra large.
Because what breast implants started like a B.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
right?
An A.
It's a little bit different, but, you know, there's more, ego involved there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people have hydraulics that we can wrap an implant around that's going to be a large mm-hmm. and it's always going to be long. We'll get back to the growers and showers. And some guys, you know, they pulled the genetic wild card and they're pretty big to start with. And we have to use an extra large, extra long in order to fill the space and give them, you know, 1 to 2 inches of additional girth 24/7.
But how do you do a penile implant? Like, how does it actually work? Like, where does it go? Where does the implant go?
So the implant is placed in the operating room under general anesthesia. Can't have guys awake for this. They're too sensitive.
Actually, no, you want to torture him.
Done under local, but you've got to have the right guy in the right.
Oh, my gosh, no.
But there's an incision that's made along the lines of tension in the crinkles of the scrotum. And very carefully, the dissection plane is from the base of the penis, the pubic symphysis bone, all the way out to just under the corona of the glands. It has to be a circumcised penis. And the implant wraps around almost like butterfly wings mm-hmm. so that when the guy is at rest, he's got resting girth. When he expands, he has erect girth and still has sensation and everything else. And it actually is sewn in place. And so he's fully on all the time. When he gets an erection, then he goes up as well.
Mm.
Would we know? Now that's... Would we know if someone
yeah.
had a penile?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's some very good looking penises out there that have help.
But we wouldn't. But would we know it wasn't, like, you know, with breast implants? Most of the time, you can tell.
Feel it.
Right? You can feel it. You can
tell. No, it's not. Well, you might be able to feel a difference if you're astute. But it's put under the skin and the soft tissue, and it's wrapped tight around the tunica albuginea, that lining that comes right around the hydraulics of the penis. So it's a little deeper, but I think an astute gal would be able to tell. I don't know that she'd object.
Then why doesn't everyone get a penis implant? Because, you know, I know maybe they do. I never even thought about it.
Mm-mm, no.
We think about breast implants all the time. But I never even thought about a penile implant, but I guess you do them, right?
And maybe there are people that we didn't know had them that have them. I mean, right?
Because when we use fillers off-label, we can put fillers in that same potential space, and we can enlarge from a half an inch to an inch and a half with each session that we do. You can do a session every 6 months if you want to. And you can either have temporary fillers, as we do in the face, or long-lasting fillers, as we do in the face, that last many, many years. So those same things can be used down below. There's no incision. There's no line. It feels very soft and supple. And when it's erect, it's hard and supple. And, you know, you can use that along the entire shaft of the penis. And even the tip can be enlarged a little bit, but it's more of a fibromuscular material in the tip, and you have to be very careful because there's some vascular issues there. So typically we use the short acting ones that we could dissolve if we're going to use a filler in the tip. But there are some significant penises going in and out of Vegas. Occasionally they get stopped by TSA and questioned as to what they're carrying.
The magnetometer gets them every time, right?
Do they really? So they make that go off?
Well, they don't mix, they don't meet the computer derived equations of what they were expecting to see on the x-ray. And if they're too big and you don't have filler, doesn't really show up on x-ray, it just looks bigger, or it shows up as little particulate matter or something, but nothing major. Think about when folks put filler in their face or the back of their hands or any of the other areas we put filler, you know, it doesn't show up as you're going through TSA. But, you know, a breast implant clearly shows up and you can see the edges of it and you know, well, that's a breast implant. Next.
That's so interesting. Now, what about the science behind what I like to call the magic button? It's the little, during sex, there's like a little area on a man, and it's also, I think, referred to as a taint.
What's a magic button?
The magic button. In between the, I guess, the anus and the penis, like there's sort of that little patch of skin that if you push it during, you know, sex and like orgasm, it really drives the boys wild. Why is this? Why is that the place?
Because you're pushing up on the prostate. Ah, the prostate is right there. And that's why a finger on the backside that pushes up against the prostate has very much the same reaction. But you are correct. In both men and women, there are an incredible number of nerves back around the rectum and in the area of the taint. And it's all connected. And as long as they don't freak out and they're open-minded and it's something that they've learned to enjoy, you can put that to your use and vice versa.
Right.
I'm not opposed to it.
It might be your new thing, the magic button.
My new thing, Roxy, or just a thing? So what's the weirdest thing that that someone has put their penis in?
Oh,
like there must have been some horror, like you must have seen some horror stories, like there has to have been, especially in Vegas.
In Vegas,
I mean, come on. What is the weirdest thing someone has put their penis in?
I'm scared for this answer.
No, don't look. Why are you looking to the side?
I think more we hear more about guys trying to put things inside of their penis.
Okay.
Inside of a rectum.
Like a mouse?
Oh, that would be...
A mouse would be rectal size, but not urethral size, but yeah.
Okay.
What would they stick in their urethra, though?
Straws, pencils, beans, all kinds of things. Catheters.
What?
You know, stuff like that. You know, things that just don't necessarily belong there. Plus all the different piercings. because they tend to get in the way. They don't always help.
Oh, right. I didn't even think about that. The Prince Albert piercing, which goes through the hole.
Oh, no. I don't even have a penis and I'm really in pain right now.
Yeah. Or you can get speed bumps across the top for your listeners' pleasure.
What are they?
Oh, they can implant that? They can implant bumps on a penis for a woman. So when she's having sex,
the poor
ruffles
guy.
Are not the like, only thing that has ridges.
She's like, dude, just be happy with what I have. Like, let it go. Oh. So then do you help have people stuck anything up their butts?
Well, any emergency room has an array of photographs of everything from bottles to light bulbs to probably hairbrushes to everything in between that people accidentally fell on and they had needed help getting it out. Because when the muscle goes into spasm, all they can do is push it further in. So you have to relax them or take them to anesthesia to be able to get that out.
And again, some of this is for fun.
Or toys.
Yeah, toys, straws, beans. I mean, that.
Vibrators.
Wow.
All kinds of things.
All kinds of things. I mean, who knew?
Humans are fascinating.
Yeah, they really are. And you really get to see, like, that side of people too as a doctor.
True, but more of what we see in the office is enlarging and helping function for both men and women.
So it does go hand in hand. I mean, you need to be on the same team. Like if you have a partner and you're dealing with this kind of a thing, it is good to have, you know, a team player. Right?
Yeah, well, you put high test gas into one of the partners, the other partner needs to be able to keep up.
Yeah, that's true. That's
well, I have learned a lot today.
I mean, so much.
So much.
So much. I'm just like the dick knowledge is.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm.
What is the
delighted to be of service.
What is the number one STD you feel like come into your office?
Ooh.
Like the number one?
We don't see a lot.
Interesting. Mm. Why do you think?
I think that patients have taken care of that elsewhere. You know, periodically I'll, you know, say, you know, you've got some warts down here. Sometimes people call them venereal warts. These are a little gross. We can take them off with a CO2 laser while you're numb and, you know, take care of that in men and women because people don't necessarily think it's either something that, because it doesn't cause pain, it doesn't ooze, it doesn't bleed. And yet it's an issue because it increases the risk of cervical cancer, of course. And, you know, so that's something that we see occasionally, once in a great while, a little chlamydia. We haven't seen any gonorrhea or syphilis or anything like that in years or years.
I heard that, I think warts, right, warts are like the number one transmitted STD, correct? Is that the top STD, the venereal warts?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a cosmetic surgeon, so it's not really something that I get into.
Right.
But you take them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because there is probably an 85% kill rate of such things with a CO2 laser, and it's kinder and gives a nicer outcome in terms of what it looks like, in terms of the scar or the healing or things like that. Mm. But typically they would go to their regular doctor, Planned Parenthood, urologist, gynecologist, whatever, and have those kinds of things taken care of. And they might freeze them, they might cut them off, they might do all kinds of things. Not everyone has almost every wavelength of the electromagnetic spectrum in their back pocket to use for the appropriate reasons.
And because you are a doctor and you do know the answer to this, can you get herpes from a toilet seat? Because I've always wanted to know that.
True or false?
True or false?
You've got to get pretty intimate with that toilet seat to be able to pull that off and maybe have some open abrasions.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's got to go hand in hand. Okay. And then true or false? Can men die of blue balls, like they always say? If you leave them with blue balls, they might die.
For my brothers from another mother, of course I have to say yes.
What is blue balls anyway? Just so like if people want to know scientifically.
So think about the kid that goes running out into the ocean and the ocean's beginning of swim season and the ocean is cold. And the testicles, because teleologically they want to keep things warm, they rise up as close as they can to the body. And those muscles are tight. almost like a Charlie horse. That's blue ball.
Is that blue ball? But what about, you know, sometimes when you've been with a man and it hasn't gone all the way and they still say they have blue balls.
Because again, the cremasteric reflex and the testicles have raised up to prepare for action. Mm-hmm. And then there was no action or not enough. And so they worked out, they got a Charlie horse and they've got a stretch.
Okay.
True or false? Men prefer masturbating alone or with their partners.
We haven't done a survey on that. And again, as a cosmetic surgeon, I got to plead ignorance.
It's not my fan.
I think you need to talk to your fan base.
I know.
And do a survey for it, and we'll all share it.
Okay, we'll ask two more true and falses, and then we'll let you go about cosmetic surgery of the penis. Okay.
Yes, yes. True or false, it is possible to give a penis a facelift when it gets old.
Absolutely. Now think about when we look at a human face and we look at color, texture, tone, tightness, and volume. All those things are truly involved in rejuvenating a face or face and neck. Mm-hmm. And all those things are truly involved no matter what you rejuvenate below the belt on men or women. Mm-hmm. And you can affect each of those with all of the tools in your tool chest. Which may be surgical, which may be fillers or platelet-rich plasma, which may be various wavelengths of lasers to treat pigmented lesions, vascular lesions, tightness of the skin, all kinds of things. So whether it's a laser, electromagnetism, radio frequency, acoustic wave therapy, and then all the other things that we can put in or stretch tight with. Sure, we can give that area a facelift. We can make him almost bionic. We can make him better than he was.
So that when they die, the penis is like it was still 25 years old.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why they have open caskets.
Yeah, that's a thing, right?
That's a thing. Yeah.
Okay, this won't make it good. True or false? What do you think?
Oh, okay, wait. True or false?
In the future, you think we're going to have so many advances in cosmetic surgery with the penis that we're going to be able to do so much more than we can do now? Or do you feel like, true or false?
Like you've hit your limit already.
Yeah, have you hit your limit? Mm-hmm. Do you think there's going to be much more you can do?
I do, because I think we're going to get into the use of stem cells and be able to genetically enhance people. Cure people, make new organs for organs that don't work, things like that. We'll be able to grow them bigger, better, healthier, all those kinds of things without all the archaic, prehistoric almost medical items that we use now. Mm-hmm. The question may be, will men be happier when they wake up in the morning and reach down and have something bigger to grab? Mm. And will their spouses be happier and more fulfilled when they train that male? Kind of like training your dragon.
Yeah. Which actually makes me ask this question, because did you see the story in the UK where a guy grew a penis on his arm? It was in the UK. What was it in the paper there? Mm-hmm. He grew a penis on his arm like they did. And then they were able to take that penis off and then put it down there because he had an accident.
Mm.
So he regrew a penis on his arm. So that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read that story. You know, there are certainly, we're certainly, you know, three-dimensional modeling and building things for replacement of the nipple areolar complex. Mm. And it wouldn't surprise me if we could do that to some degree with a penis. The thing is, it's more than just a shape. There has to be functioning vasculature. So there has to be arteries and veins and nerves, and they all have to interact together. That's a lot. It's a lot for us today. It's not to say it can't be done, but for right now, that's a whole organ. It's not like a shape of an ear that gets covered with skin, or a tip of a nose that you can, you know, replace, or, you know, something like that. I think that I'd want to see the scientific background on that. You know, it's not to say that you can't, if a penis is severed and just like a finger, re-implant it and get function out of it. You can reconnect the vessels, the nerves, the skin, and have it function fairly well. Obviously not quite as good as before, but better than a nubbin.
You know, quick question too, just going along with the medical aspect, in that way, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of trans people that go through, surgery. So is it possible to construct a penis out of a vagina? Is that would the penis function just like a penis that somebody was born with might function?
But longer. And there are certainly, you know, there's certainly a kink that's out there where people are putting filler in the clitoris. The body of the clitoris goes down into the crus, which are analogous to the corpora cavernosa on the male. And then they're using nipple vacuum devices to stretch the clitoris. And some of these gals have been able to get 2, 3, maybe even 4 inches of extension, usually with medical help. So it releases that body, brings it forward, wraps it in some of the labia to give it a penis-like thing. And the clitoris engorges the same way that the glands of the penis engorges. So you can have a functional thing in a trans, and vice versa. You can cut the penis down and take the tip of the glands and make it sort of a clitoris, and you can remove the testes and fold the scrotum up so you get some labia, and then you can do an invagination and you can go the other way. Not my shtick. But, you know, we do try to keep up with some of the other things that are around, because we do see these patients come in occasionally, very occasionally. Usually it's for girth enhancement, and the treatment is very much the same. So we can use fillers the same way.
Well, the dick doc, we have so much to think about.
We really do.
And we'll come see you, even if we don't need to. We'll come to Vegas and see you, because why not?
Why not?
Have a little extra fun in our sex life.
Yes, yes.
Never your partners.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. That's the most important thing.
Yes, yes.
As I say to my guys when we make them bigger, please don't go out and make me proud, but don't catch anything I can't treat.
Yeah.
That's very good advice.
Well, I love that. And thank you so much for coming on. And please, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
So I have to talk to my producer here. Which one do I want? So the. Okay. So our, our address is 9130 West Post Road. It says Aesthetic Revolution Las Vegas. And that's our website, aestheticrevolutionlv.com. And they can find all different things from forehead to feet about cosmetic surgeries. I work with 2 very gifted plastic surgeons as well. And we do all kinds of fun things. We have some of the only master estheticians in Nevada working with us. And then we are on YouTube, Instagram. My producer's helping me here.
You're like, I just do the surgeries.
Yes, exactly.
Back on TikTok, you've got dickdocrx.com, which I don't own, but curate some of the things on there, like penis pumps that actually work and are not just novelties and things like that. And then thedickdoc.com for merch, because people like to have t-shirts and underwear and things like that for whatever reasons, maybe just for making the bedroom a little more exciting. And any other addresses I need to put out there? Dick Doc Dr. Z on Instagram. Dick Doc, I think that's an underscore Dr. Z on Instagram. Amazing. And at
YouTube is just the
Dick Doc. The YouTube apparently is just the Dick Doc.
Amazing.
So we're moving more and more into YouTube, where we can do longer discussions. So we discuss the happiness procedure, which is the filler procedure I've developed over the past few years, 10 years or so, because it takes a good penis to have happiness.
Yeah. We'll come in. We'll come in and video the whole experience. That's for sure.
We'll have to do it.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, guys, for listening. Remember to rate, subscribe, and comment. And we are Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook. And Women on Top Official on TikTok.
And I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women on
TikTok.
Dog, yes!
Be careful with that position.